How appropriate from the choir today. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor. The whole armor. Not half of the armor, not a third of the armor, not even 90% of the armor, the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, here in the 21st century, we Christians sometimes have trouble talking about the wiles of the devil and the evil one and spiritual warfare. But today we're going to look at that. Look at what it means to be at war internally, at war in the spirit internally. For our struggle, the apostle writes in Ephesians, our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh. We're not struggling, we're not at war anymore with enemies of blood and flesh, with our pew neighbors, or with the people in churches across the street, or with political and theological factions within our denomination with whom we never talk, or with other denominations. We're no longer at war with people who aren't even Christians anymore. We're not at war with flesh and blood. Jesus reminds us that we are called to pray for our enemies, to pray for them and to love them. So our warfare is not an earthly one. It is not one of flesh and blood. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. What an interesting series of statements here. Rulers, authorities, cosmic powers. Rulers, archos in Greek, the first amongst all of powers. Authorities, exousia, the authority or the power or the right to be in command. Archos, exousia, both words dealing with governments, usually, but not entirely. And the reality of the spiritual nature of this warfare is made clear by the next line, the cosmic powers of this present darkness. Cosmokrateros in Greek. What a word. One word for this idea of cosmic powers in heavenly places. Behind the evil of this world sits the evil of eternity. Behind this evil of this world sits that evil darkness of eternity. The spiritual forces that control sin in this life. The apostle is saying very clearly here that we war not against our sisters and brothers in this life, not even against the government, but against the spiritual forces, the cosmic powers. And it's strange because he says the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He's kind of pulling a little bit here from the imagery, pulling out of Job's concept here, that into the heavenly host can walk the accuser to challenge us before God. We war against that reality, that spiritual reality. Therefore, he says, because we're in battle with the spiritual forces, not with earthly forces, not with forces of blood and flesh, but with spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And as Brian reminded me today, armor's heavy. Have you ever looked at a soldier in their full armor, their Kevlar jackets or vests and the helmets and all? That stuff looks very heavy and very hot, and they're usually out in some desert somewhere burning up and roasting. I mean, that's heavy, hot stuff. Who wants to carry all of that armor? Let's just take the parts of the armor we want, okay? Well, you know, it lists some of these things. You've got the helmet, you've got the shield, you've got some interesting stuff. You've got good shoes, you've got the belt. So let's choose the belt and the shoes, but we can forget the rest. No, you can't forget the rest. The whole armor. And it identifies what they are. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes on your feet, which is whatever makes it possible for you to proclaim the gospel of peace. You ever tried to walk out onto asphalt in the middle of summer in Texas without shoes on? You didn't walk very far, did you? I'll never forget the summer of 1980 watching as Troy Duncan roasted fried an egg on the parking lot at Channel 8 in Dallas. And it was sizzling by the end of his weather report. Try walking on that. No, you need something to protect your feet when you're walking in the midst of the heat of battle. And especially if you're proclaiming a gospel of peace, which the world doesn't want to hear. You're going to get opposition. With all of these, take the shield of faith. Oh, that sounds good. The shield of faith, yeah. We'll take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you notice something about this list of armor? It's almost all of it defensive. Almost every element of the armor is defensive, designed to defend you against external attack, designed to defend you against the opposition that you're going to receive when you're going about the calling of God. You can't take just part of it, regardless of how heavy it may be. Righteousness, truth, salvation, faith, you have to carry it all. And notice what it says about the one implement that's a weapon. The sword. It describes it as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wow. What might that mean? I had a great aunt named Lucy. Lucy was a wonderful woman. She was a really big woman. And she was a prayer. This means that she could pray. If you had any need, you'd call her, you'd ask her to pray for you, and she'd say, okay, honey, it's done. You're prayed for. And then you knew she was praying for you. And then any time you had a concern, you could write her or phone her, ask her for prayer, and she would pray for you. She'd pray for you right then. She'd pray for you later. She would always be praying for you. You knew you were being prayed for when my great aunt Lucy was done praying. And one day she explained to me how she learned how to pray. She said she learned how to pray from watching her mother, my great grandmother, pray. Mama Neal prayed using the scriptures, and especially using the Psalms. And she said to me one time, my great aunt said to me, you want to know what your great grandmother's favorite psalm was? And I thought it was going to be one of those flowery psalms, one of those pretty psalms, maybe the 23rd psalm, a psalm of comfort, or one of the other psalms of comfort, or one that was just lovely. And then she quotes to me Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. Are you getting it? Here we have military language. Just like we had in Ephesians, military language, armament language, defense language, shield and buckler language. Again, you will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation. Wow. No evil shall befall you. No scourge come near your tent. Again, all the language here is military language. For he will command his angels concerning you. Command his angels. The angels of God are seen as both messengers and soldiers, warriors in Hebraic angelology. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up. And here the translation is, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. One possible alternative translation here is, they will lift you up when you have dashed your foot against a stone. They will pick you up when you have tripped. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. You'll be victorious. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. Again, more military language. Protect, deliver. When they call me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The 91st Psalm has a plethora of military terms, just like the Ephesians passage today, speaking about spiritual warfare. Not literal physical warfare, spiritual warfare. Spiritual combat. Notice some implications from this language. Firstly, armor is really only needed if you actually are going into combat, which means that the Christian life is one where you're going to have opposition. If you're doing it right, people are going to complain about it. I once had a district superintendent tell me that if the church isn't complaining about you, after a while, you're not doing it right. Because the job of the pastor sometimes is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Sometimes the pastor has to step on toes or point out where something is missing in the spiritual life or the calling to ministry or mission. This combat language, this military language, sometimes we really are really hard on the Muslims about it, but they use it too, but it's present in Christian speech as well and Jewish speech too. We don't have the luxury. We do not have the luxury of avoiding opposition. The opposition is external and internal. The desire within us to not face the opposition, to run away, to retreat, to not do what we know we're supposed to do, what we know God is calling us to do, out of fear of opposition. Cannot fall to that temptation. We must be willing to stand up for what we believe in and act on what we believe in, trusting in the whole armor of God, trusting in the shield of faith, trusting in the shoes that shield our feet in the midst of the burning of opposition, trusting in the belt that girds us up, the belt of truth that girds us up, the helmet of salvation, and yes, indeed, that sword of the Spirit, which is then described in that next section here in Ephesians, beginning at verse 18, where it says, pray in the Spirit. You see, the warfare that we are engaged in is not one with bombs or swords or guns. It's a warfare of prayer. Like my great aunt and like my great grandmother, prayer warriors. So also pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. And the military language isn't done yet. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. We are called to be in prayer. That is our warfare. Prayer. Prayer for each other. Prayer for the church. Prayer for our community. Prayer for the state. Prayer for our country. Prayer for this world. We are called to be in prayer for the family of God here and beyond these walls. We're called to be in prayer, engaging in the means of grace of prayer. That is how we wield that sword. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, our prayer. My sisters and brothers, we need to be a people. We must be. We cannot afford to not be. We have to be a people of prayer. Engaging in prayer for each other. Engaging in prayer for this community. We're getting ready to produce a new photo directory. And I want to offer you an exercise with that directory. And you can start with the directory you've got now. I want to offer you an exercise with that directory. When you get it, turn to it, look at every face and every name, and every day take one, two, or three and pray for them. And pray your way through that directory, praying for each person, praying for their concern, praying for their need. If you don't know their need, find out. Write them a card or a note telling them you've prayed for them. But pray for each other. Pray for our community too. Pray for our nation and for our leaders. Pray for our mission and ministry as a congregation here in Commerce. Pray for our denomination as we move towards General Conference in 2016. Pray for this nation as we approach another election in 2016. Pray for God's peace, God's grace, and victory over the internal war that we all fight. A war to want to back down and hide and pretend as though it's all about just us or me. But realize it's not about just us or me, but it's about the love of God. And sharing that love with all. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer. Yeah, that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer. And to that end, keep alert. And always persevere. May we be a people of prayer, engaging in prayer for each other, and in praise as we pray, in praise to God. Let me dwell, the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy. In your presence, Lord. Let me learn.
have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2015 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.